Pastor Jonathan here for Through the Word. Besides John 3:16, there is probably no other Bible passage so known and so loved by the world as the chapter we are about to read. Read at weddings for centuries, 1 Corinthians 13 is a powerful reminder that there is something more substantial, more powerful than any spiritual gift. Now, remember back in high school English when you had to dissect novels and tear them apart to find the theme, the genre, and all the foreshadowing? If you're like me, it left you with a bad taste for that book. Why? Because you just destroyed something beautiful. Where once there was a beautiful work of art, there's now only the vivisected remains of literature. We want to make sure we don't do the same with this passage. We want to understand what it is saying while also admiring its beauty. We're actually going to start with verse 31 of chapter 12. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Paul wants the Corinthians to desire the greater gifts, but he never says which gifts are the greatest. And that leads us into chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. The Corinthians were obsessed with spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. And I understand, the gift of tongues is something very obvious. Everyone can hear if you're speaking in tongues. But without love, the gift of tongues can be like a little kid trying to play drums. It's just a mess of noise. I once walked into a prayer meeting where everyone was speaking in tongues at once. I knew it would be a little different than what I was used to. Still, I wasn't prepared for the noise, as everyone seemed to try to be the loudest in speaking in tongues, talking over each other, trying to get the focus on themselves. Sure, they all spoke in tongues, but there wasn't much love. There was only a desire to be the first and the loudest. And listen, I'm not picking on one group of believers or another. The same can be true for the gift of prophecy, of knowledge, and faith. There are some groups of believers that I've been a part of that argue over who delivers a better sermon, or who can interpret the signs of the times better. It isn't an issue of holding love in opposition to the gifts. We should never have to choose between the two. Instead, we should allow the gifts to operate with the goal of love. Having a gift of the Spirit is not a sign that a believer is actually maturing. Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Without love, the most dramatic acts of service are worthless. Many Christians believe that the Christian life is all about sacrifice. Give up all your time, your money, your life for Christ. Now, these things are good, but without love, they're useless. Love is so important, so valuable, so key to the Christian faith that apart from it, every good thing we do is worthless. Now, before we get into the beautiful, wedding-worthy poetry, let's take a look at what Paul means when he speaks of love. There were four words in ancient Greek that we can translate as love into English. Storge was the word used to describe family love, the love between parents and children or between family members in general. Eros was another word for love, and this is the word we use for physical attraction. Phileia was the third word for love. This is a brotherly affection, a deep partnership. One commentary said that this is the highest love of which man, without God's help, is capable of. The fourth word for love is agape. This love is a love that doesn't change. It is a self-giving love, a love so great that it can be given to the unlovable. This isn't a love you give to get anything in return. It's a love that you give just to give. I've heard that this is called God's love, but John uses the word to describe man's love of his own sinful ways. It's a love that you are willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of. It's this fourth word, agape, that Paul uses. Paul isn't telling us to be friendly with everybody, although the first three loves all have their place in our lives. But we are told that in the church, we need to show agape love. Why? Because there will be people in the church that we disagree with, that we fight with, that we just can't stand. But we are to love them anyway. We must be willing to lay down our lives for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Seriously, this love is what we should strive to give to each other. Paul goes on in verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. The spiritual gifts will fail. They will cease to exist. But love never will. When we're in eternity, we will have no need for special tongues, for discernment, or words of knowledge. We will have the presence of the Almighty God with us. But love? Love will still be present. It will exist as long as God exists. For God is agape love. Verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Childish things are appropriate for children, and our spiritual gifts are appropriate for our present time. But just as childish things are put away as we mature, so will our spiritual gifts be put away when we enter eternity. They will be overshadowed by the presence of Jesus, as they should be. The gifts we are given are shadows of who Jesus is. Why would we need the shadow when the reality is before us? So use your gifts, but use them in self-sacrificing, agape love. Our gifts are meant to build up the body, which can't be done unless we're rooted in love. Go read 1 Corinthians 13 today and join us tomorrow for chapter 14 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.